You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
And obviously today being a football Friday because of championship weekend in the NFL, we look forward. We look towards those games, and we will break them down as well. We have the new Jets head coach, Robert Saleh, going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. We have a lot of football to discuss. We have a lot of current legacy to discuss, don't we, Bart?
Yeah, we
but
do.
But right now, in this moment, because things happen as they do, life goes on, and life also comes to an end at certain points. And that, it's amazing to think about the sport of baseball and the legends it has lost in just the last about 2 weeks.
Yeah, it is.
Considering Tommy Lasorda, Don Sutt, and now today the news of Hall of Famer Hank Aaron passing away at the age of 86. This is the home run king. A lot of people still recognize him as such. Passing away, reports were of a stroke in his home in Atlanta. Yeah. And let's do Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Bart, this is – Hank Aaron is such an American story. Mm-hmm. That, and I know for African Americans and knowing what athletes went, this is, I was, you know, 4 years old when he was when he broke Babe Ruth's home run record.
Right.
And it just feels like weird to me that in my lifetime, the kind of things that existed even still then, as he was pursuing what at the time was such a sacred record in sports, the home run record, that he would be getting death threats. That actually happened in my lifetime, let alone his. But I still call it an American story because of not just the perseverance part of it, because he was such an icon at a time where baseball was still very much America's pastime. Now, that's my perspective on one end as a kid who grew up a baseball fan, baseball my first love. But what perspective would you have, Bart, about the story of he preferred Henry, by the way, Henry Aaron?
Right. Well, Hammer and Hank, as you know,
everybody called him.
So finally called, you know what I mean? It really was his importance to the culture as well. Him proving that a sacred record could be held. Because I remember back in the day, the Negro League, you talk about Satchel Paige and Gibson and all these guys back from the Negro League, those guys who didn't get the opportunity to play. You know, Jackie Robinson kind of broke the color barrier, and Hank Aaron was kind of like that first class to come in after Jackie Robinson to be able to have the opportunity to play without as much racism where he wasn't the only one, even though he had to deal with the racism. It just kind of shows you what happens when you have an equal opportunity. And it's crazy because you think about the African-American athlete back at that time. They wanted you to be quiet, humble, which he was, and they wanted you to be good, but not good enough to the point where you could start erasing you know, prominent white baseball players like Babe Ruth, who, you know, is probably the most popular, not probably, he's the most popular baseball player in baseball history, right? He's like, it's like him and then everybody else, right, for what he was and what he stands for, his impact on the culture, his impact on the game. And here you have this humble guy coming trying to, you know, beat one of those records, and the fact that he had to go to the stadium and perform under those type of pressures of death threats, worried about your family, your children, and the fact that he did it with such grace and such humility. And I remember him hitting that one. And it's odd that, you know, we lost Vin Scully, and the fact that Vin Scully was the one who called 7:15. You know, he was the one who made that call. You know, you just talk about some of the icons and how they're all intertwined and the 6 degrees of separation, and the fact that, you know, Hank Aaron, and when you see the young kid, or you said it was Sager, right? You said that was...
Oh, yeah, that's one of the great stories. There's so many stories that come out of his chase for the home run record, and one of them is a 22-year-old Craig Sager working for a Florida radio station. And if you watch the highlight of him not even reaching home plate after he hits that home run off Al Dowling, that there's a young guy running towards him with a microphone, wanting to get that first interview, and that is the late Craig Sager, who everybody remembers for the Loud Suits and TNT, who passed away a couple of years ago in a battle with cancer. But, I mean, how about that? Just that connection right there, the idea you have that. But there's so much more to this story. Now, you did say, did you say we lost Vince Scully? Not yet.
No, he retired.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I ain't trying to get, listen. I mean, we lost enough people.
Tommy lost enough people.
I'm not trying to kill nobody else, man. No,
yeah,
I'm,
Don Sutton last week as well. So you know, these are obviously moments where you reflect on a career, on greatness, and on a story.
Right.
But I just feel like that is the thing to me that's so compelling about baseball, Bart. It's the stories.
Right.
It is the one sport that has those stories. You know, we love talking with Tim Kirkson. We love talking with Buster Olney. We love talking with the different people that have covered the sport for a long time because they are the storytellers.
Yeah. And baseball treasures their icons and their heroes and their records. I think, you know, baseball records are a lot more sacred than those of which, you know, football. I mean, you don't really pay attention to who threw the most touchdowns in NFL history. You don't worry about who, you know, who rushed. I mean, maybe the rushing title.
That is interesting, isn't it? In a lot of sports, you
don't
pay attention.
Right.
I think when LeBron, and I think he probably could, passes Kareem for the scoring, for the all-time scoring leader in the NBA, you know, that's a very significant record.
Right.
But you don't really focus on that stuff.
But other than that, name another record, right?
Well, name one that everybody in the country – and this was the time in the 70s – you know, this was the time, the sport itself.
Yeah.
Like, it was basically, you could, every American, if you said, who's the home run champ? Oh, it's Babe Ruth. Like, everybody knew it. And then after it was Hank Aaron, like, that's how I grew up.
And even
it was
the
always
single season. Even the
Hank
single
Aaron.
Season. Even the single season.
Roger Maris,
run,
yeah.
You know what I mean? When we had that, when we had Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, you know,
and then later Barry Bonds,
and
right.
How crazy that was. You know
now,
I mean?
Here's the question I had. I have this question again, and it's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm curious if there's anyone out there, because I do know that there is a generation of fans who probably look at Barry Bonds passing Hank Aaron's record, career home run record, saying, I don't recognize him as the home run. I still recognize Hank Aaron. I bet there are still people because of the PED stuff. Now, Hank Aaron played for 23 seasons. I mean, he played a long time. And obviously, longevity allows you to break records like that. But your best ability is your availability and your durability. And he certainly proved that. He won a championship in Milwaukee early in his career. Finished his career. Then he's with Atlanta as they moved to Atlanta with the Braves. Had a great career with the Braves. Finished up, though, his career in Milwaukee at the very end. But the story, though, and my friend Steve Marcus, who has covered baseball for a very long time for Newsday in New York, had this story that – and he actually did it just last year – regarding what Hank Aaron went through when he broke that record. And that's why I'm going back to this, why this is such an American story. And by the way, it does parallel with today's times. It is something that is still relevant. The story that is relevant today, unfortunately, and also for those who, you know, are too young to even know who Hank Aaron was, relatable. Think about this for a minute. There was an athlete who was closing in on breaking a massive record that everybody in the country knew about this record, and he was closing in on breaking it. And as he was doing it, he was getting death threats.
Right.
He was getting and he kept all the letters. And one of the letters that this was in Sports Illustrated, that he shared this letter, and it said, "You're not going to break his record established by the great Babe Ruth if I can help it. Whites are far more superior than," using a word that I'm not going to use.
Right.
He said, "My gun is watching your every black move." That's a note that was sent to him.
Right.
As he's pursuing something that for him at the moment was, like, if you think about, like you mentioned, Sosa McGwire. How much fun was that? That was just an incredible, I know the PEDs later, we look at it now, it's tainted, but who cares? At the time, it was, you were caught up in it, and what fun and intensity. For him, it was probably a scary time. For him, it was, how could he enjoy it? If you think about it, Bart, could you imagine you having that in the back of your mind that you're circling the bases and you don't know if you're in the crosshairs right now?
Right. I mean, just the immense stress. I mean, and it started with Jackie Robinson, who was afraid to go down south and had segregation and couldn't stay in certain hotels. And you would think that we would have been evolved from that. When you think about it, this was like the 70s, right? You know, these are the 70s. This isn't the time where, you know, this is almost, well, I wasn't born then, but you were born then, Alan. You know, and those are times that, you know, these are only less than a generation away. We just lost the great Martin Luther King. This was around those times, right, when he was assassinated. And, you know, he's, you know, so it was a real thing. Those weren't empty threats. You know, the fact that somebody could try and take your life, you know, not at the ballpark, but maybe take your life out when they see you out, you know, when you're leaving and in your personal time. And the real, you know, dilemma that you have to be in between, like, do you want your family at the game if something happens, right? If you break the record, do you want to be on the road? Do you feel comfortable if you break that record on the road? Understanding how sacred it is to people. And it just shows you sometimes the ignorance of people not understanding that it's a game at the end of the day. And it's supposed to be about fun and bringing people together. But
right,
a lot of times, just like how Hitler used the Olympics, it's about, you know, sometimes people trying to say that they're superior and not just giving people the equal opportunity. And that's what he was fighting to dispel. No different than the plight and the problem of Doug Williams and the importance of Doug Williams. As we're about to be coming close to Black History Month, you talk about all the pioneers that made the game what it is today and made the game better. He's a guy that had tremendous impact because he took that sacred record and he said that it could be held by a man of color, you know, that wasn't allowed to play just not that long ago. And just imagine in his generation growing up, some of the people that he rooted for, they weren't even allowed to play, right? So, like, the fact that he had that responsibility, because, you know, the African-American athlete has a lot more on his shoulders, because, you know, we talk about now about, you know, the African-American coaches and how much pressure they have to be successful so that other coaches can get hired. Well, for him to be successful and for him to be able to be a guy that can play, you know, great outfield, be not just a home run hitter, you know, because that plays to a stereotype too, a big, strong, powerful black guy, right? But still a guy that can hit from contact and be able to play the game and think the game as well and be able to be a great defensive player as well, you know, opened the doors for those who came after him. And, you know, it gave tremendous pride in African-American community. The fact that we are saying and athletes are still saying and coaches are still saying and general managers are still saying that, hey, if you give us an opportunity, we can thrive as well. And that was his importance to the African-American athlete, proving that, hey, if given this opportunity, mm-hmm. given the same chance as everybody else, we can be just as good. Not saying that we're superior, just saying that we can be equal or just as good. And all we want is inclusion and an opportunity. And that's all that black general managers are asking for. That's all that black coaches are asking about. Mm-hmm. That's all that African-American players are asking for. And to a certain extent, that's what students in inner cities are asking for. Give me the resources, the same resources that everybody else gets, so it can be a fair fight. And that's all that he was fighting for, and that's what he stood for in the black community, that, hey, if we get an equal opportunity, we can be equally successful. Not that we're better, but we're definitely not inferior.
I'm glad you said it that way, too, and it's certainly we can make go in a different direction in this conversation, because it is a misunderstanding that a lot of people have when they see a black athlete and you know, have success and then show out a little bit, you know, yeah. flex a little bit. It almost becomes like, oh, you think you're better than me. And no, just what we do. Like, when you're in competition and you have success, it comes out of you. Like, it's not about I'm better than you. It's just that in this moment I am, but it has nothing to do. Like, that's a whole other conversation.
I'm not showing you up. I mean, you want to see something entertaining, go watch the Dominican Baseball League.
Oh.
I mean, you think it's the Soul Train line, somebody do something. You know what I mean? And that's a cultural thing. That's all. But, it's just a cultural thing.
But if
we
express
ourselves different ways.
Right, but I don't want to go too far on that end. We do have some calls I want to get to at 888-ESPN in a moment. But it was just funny because on ESPN Plus, where you can catch us every day, I watched again him crossing the bases when he hit 715. And there's an irony to this. And, you know, when you think about in that era again, I was way too young to know it, but obviously through my parents were huge sports fans. My mother is a diehard baseball fan to this day. It's amazing to think you had Muhammad Ali at that time. You had Willie Mays. You had, Jim Brown.
Yeah.
These were athletes that weren't just loved by black fans. Yeah. They were athletes that were loved by white fans. And Hank Aaron, as he's running the bases, the first fans, because everybody just ran on the field. Back then, how crazy was it? Back then, you could just run on the damn field. So, but the first two people to greet him and celebrate were two white fans.
Right.
Just two white guys in like their 20s patting him on the back and celebrating with him as if to say, you know, like, I just find that part to be amazing.
That we accept you, and it's crazy because imagine how he felt when he felt somebody touching him on his back,
well,
running,
right.
And him saying all he sees is two young white males in their 20s running towards him.
Yeah, they're not going to let me get home.
Yeah, and he's been having death threats and all that stuff, but still he's being protective, but he still wants to make sure that he's not judging and prejudging, right? Okay, so just imagine what it's like. You've been getting death threats, and somebody's running at you. And
here comes two white guys running behind you.
Right, two. And he has the wherewithal to say, hey, maybe they aren't the bad guys. And he erred on the side of caution that they were good guys and that they were happy for him instead of jumping to conclusions. Because also, like, it's weird because when you're a great athlete as an African-American, that you're expected, and especially in those times, to be less. You make yourself smaller so other people can feel bigger, right? You couldn't be cocky. You couldn't be braggadocious, loquacious, right? You had to be humble and quiet and walk quietly, even though if you were one of the most confident athletes, the only person that got away with being a cocky athlete at that time was Muhammad Ali,
right?
And that was part of his stick. But then at the end of the day, he was the only one that played a sport that was a single sport where it was no teammate to tag. But if you were in team sports, it was about being about the team and not being about yourself. Could you imagine if Hank Aaron was talking about his brand and how much money he should get paid because he's the best baseball player of the game, how he would have been looked upon?
How much the sport has changed. Yeah. It is amazing. How much the sport has changed, how much we have changed society, the way we celebrate athletes, but in a sad way, as we've been seeing in this country, how still far we are from the full acceptance and the full belief in equality and really just caring for each other. But you know what? As we're talking about that, Buster Olney, one of the great orators of baseball, one of the great writers of baseball, one of the great historians of baseball, he had this to say about all the things that Hank Aaron had to deal with. Take a listen.
I'm paraphrasing what Vin Scully said the night that Aaron passed Ruth, and he talked about how a black man passed a white man for baseball's most revered record while playing a game in the South, in Atlanta, hitting that home run off Al Downing of the Dodgers. And that, you know, I think was something that for years and years and years, it took him time to process. A few years ago, he was in the booth with Tim Kirchen and Eduardo Perez. I think also Carl Ravitch was in the booth. And after, you know, he spoke with such joy on the broadcast, I talked with Tim and said, wow, he just seems so happy. It's almost like, you know, the difficulty of those years leading up to when he passed Babe Ruth, it took him a long time to process. And Tim said, that's exactly what happened. Like, there wasn't a lot of joy in those last years of Journey because of all the, you know, the threats and the racism that he was a subject of. And it's only in retirement that he can look back on his life and draw joy out of his time passing Babe Ruth.
That's amazing, isn't it, to think about that, Bart? And that's what I was just saying. Can you imagine what he was going through mentally? We saw the 30 for 30 with Sosa and Maguire and how, like, Maguire talked about just the pressure he felt under and the demand for his time and how that was tough. That's nothing in comparison to what Hank Aaron was dealing with. All right, let's get some calls because I want to hear from what people think, the memories that you have of this if you were old enough to have seen him play or maybe even just reflect on the career. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. By the way, that was Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Let's begin with Steve in Florida. Go ahead, Steve. No, Steve is gone. Okay, then we'll go next to Stan in Tennessee. Stan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I can remember I was probably about 9-10 years old when Hank broke the record, and my dad had actually taken me down to see him hit number 711 in Fulton County Stadium, and it was amazing to watch him hit a baseball the way it sounded coming off the bat. The only thing I've heard close to that was I saw Bo Jackson play in the minors in Chattanooga one time, and he hit one out in center field at Ingle Stadium, went to a light tower. That was the only thing I've ever heard that sounded like that. But my dad was a huge baseball fan, and I lived in an all-white county near Chattanooga. And to say that all people in the South at that time were extremely racist is very unfortunate. I know I never saw it that way. My dad appreciated Hank Aaron for the athlete that he was. And we rejoiced when Hank Aaron broke that record. I remember my dad would let me stay up past my bedtime to be able to watch games on WTBS back then. And he wanted me to see him break that record. And
we appreciate you sharing that with us, Stan. Thank you for that.
We never try and paint people with a broad brush, and sometimes the actions of the few can affect the many. Yes. It was a lot of people that were happy, and two examples of that are the two white kids that ran out to congratulate him because they were happy because they were just pure baseball fans. But unfortunately, sometimes the actions of a few affect the image and the perception of the many.
Yeah, and unfortunately, those who also put it down to pen and paper and send it out to somebody like that. It's just, again, try to just imagine that in a world, in today's world, a LeBron James getting, death threats for breaking a record like that, that today now it would be celebrated. So again, as we say, celebrate, we celebrate the life of Hank Aaron passing away at the age of 86. We'll continue with the calls and your thoughts and your memories about Hank Aaron. Of course, we do have sports to continue with as well. And that is championship weekend in the NFL. We will have a new head coach in the NFL. That's Robert Saleh of the Jets. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock, so that'll be a fun conversation, not just about the Jets, but just about the league itself, hiring process, and what he sees, where he sees the direction of the league. Now that he's a defensive coach, but it's an offensive league, no doubt about that. We do want to do a Blitz of Preven as we break down the games this weekend, and Bart's going to tell you who's going to win and why, and I'm just going to tell you who you should put your money on. All that coming up, your calls as well. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.
Bart and Han.
Mourning the death, but celebrating the life of Hank Aaron, who passed away at the age of 86. Not just a baseball legend, a sports icon, an American icon. No doubt about that. 755 career home runs, breaking Babe Ruth's record in 1974. And an amazing stat here real quick before we get to calls. Because 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I love it. All around the country, we're getting a lot of thoughts and responses and memories about Hank Aaron. We're going to get you. We're going to give you that opportunity to talk about that on the air in just a few seconds. But I just want to throw this one out here. All right, so he played 23 seasons, right? He never once hit more than 47 home runs in one season.
That means consistency.
Like, think about that for a minute in today's world, too, right? You'd think, you know, like he had to have had, you know, at least 150, 55. No, 47 was the most. And he did, let's see, he's one of five players to post at least 8 40 home run seasons, and one of two to have 15 30 home run seasons. Now, who do you think the other one is? The other player to have at least 15 30 home run seasons.
You said 15?
Yeah, he had 15 30 home run seasons.
I can't go Ken Giffrey. He didn't play long enough.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good. This one might surprise you.
No.
He's among, I think he's top four or five all-time in home runs. And he played in the modern era, meaning when you were playing in the NFL, he was still playing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A-Rod?
Yes. Well done. Nicely done, Alex Rodriguez.
You know what I'm saying? I know a little something about this.
A little something. You know what I'm saying? All right. Attaboy. All right. Let's see what everybody around the country has to say. The next we go to Jim in Nebraska. Jim was in a good location for a historic moment in Hank's history. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, it was. I grew up in Ohio, a town called Fairborn, and we used to go down to see Cincinnati play all the time. And of course, I was a big Reds fan. And we're sitting out in the field. We're in right field. Pete Rose is in front of us. You know, we're always giving him a little smack, and all of a sudden, Hank Aaron gets up and he hits a single, and people are coming out of the stands, and flash bulbs are going off, and I look at my brother, I'm 11 years old, and I look at him and say, "What's the big deal?" It didn't even drive in a run. What's going on here?
Right.
You know, and he looks at me, and goes, "Well," he says, "that's a 3,000 base hit," and I remember looking at him going, "That's kind of a big deal, huh?"
Yeah, 3,000.
I had no idea.
That's funny.
Like I said, I'm 11, so. I thought, well, this was kind of cool, you know. Yeah. So
living that kind of history.
I was a big Reds. Go ahead.
I just said thank you for the call. That's it's pretty cool to be part of history, but it's even funnier when you didn't even know it was happening at the time. Thanks, my man.
It was
appreciate
funny. He told me, he says, "You know what? You'll never forget this."
Here you are telling it right now.
That's
big
good
brother
stuff.
Knew what he was talking about.
Let's keep going with the calls. Let's go. Let's go. I love it. We're going around the country. Craig is in Nevada. Craig.
Gentlemen, good morning.
How are you?
I'm in the shadow of 60 years old, so I had the good fortune of seeing him play. These guys were just guys on Slurpee cups when I was a kid. However, now as an adult, I come to appreciate. I grew up in San Francisco Bay Area, so Mays, McCovey, and Marichal were my guys.
Yeah.
But to see Tom Seaver, to see Pete Rose, to see Henry Aaron come and play my team, it took to be an adult to realize what good fortune I had. And the most traumatic moment of my life, I was 12 years old when the Giants traded Willie Mays for a bag of magic beans and Charlie Williams. But him going home to New York, like Hank Aaron going home to the Brewers,
yes,
that's so different than Tom Brady or Joe Montana as a Chief or Franco Harris as a Seahawk or Joe Namath as a Ram.
Oh,
it was
God.
So different for these guys to go home where it started. I really came to revere Mr. Aaron and Willie Mays and these guys as an adult. They were just guys on Slurpee cups when I was a kid.
Yeah, well tell me this. Tell me you at least still have at least one of their baseball cards.
Oh,
I can still tell you that the first – baseball pack I opened. The first guy was Mel Stottlemyre on the Yankees.
Wow.
The second guy was Larry Durker on the Astros.
Wow.
Somewhere in my parents' attic, I got a box that I made in wood shop back in the day that separated my baseball cards from my football cards. But I'm going to tell you, there was a time, man. I had the good fortune. I worked in the wine industry in Napa, and I had a good fortune one night to sit at a bar and look at this guy reading the New York Times over his granny glasses. And I'm like, I know that guy.
Tom Seaver.
The heck's that guy? And I finally looked over and I said, excuse me, I didn't mean to bother. Are you Tom Seaver?
Yeah.
And he said, yes. And in his retirement, he had vineyards. And I told him much what I just told you. I grew up on Mays, McCovey, and Marischal. And he looked at me, and with the most stone sober face I'd ever seen, he said, yeah, trips out to the West Coast were not all that pleasant.
Greg, we appreciate that call. Thanks so much. That's great. And, you know, it's a funny point that he makes, too, right? Yeah. There were trades made of legends, and he mentions several of them, including for me. See, any pictures of Namath in a Rams uniform is just bizarre.
United took a while to get used to. United with the Chargers.
Yeah, like it's just different players in the uniform. Be like, nah, that doesn't work. But yet, when you saw Willie Mays in a Met uniform, that wasn't weird. You know what I mean? Like, and having Hank Aaron back in Milwaukee to finish up, wasn't weird. That was a great point that he made there. Let's grab one more if we can. We'll go to John in Long Island. Hey, John.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Good.
So, obviously, today's a sad day with Hank Aaron passing away, but also just being able to reflect back on this guy's life. I'm a 19-year-old kid. I obviously missed his time, but for a sport where baseball is near and dear to my heart, just hearing the type of guy that he was and what he had to go through and all that he persevered. I mean, Greeny said it on his show before. This guy was, as a kid, in his home in Alabama, hiding because the KKK would walk through his neighborhood. And, guys, that was not long ago. I mean, I was born 20 years ago, but that's not too far behind my time. And that's just crazy. And the fact that he's overcome all of that and led such a great life and become such an icon, I think, is just outstanding.
It's you know what it is, and thanks for the call in that perspective too, for a younger fan. But that, you know, again, Bart, as we've been talking about it, it's so hard to relate to what a lot of those athletes, and he being such an iconic one because of the records, because of how he carried himself. I mean, that was such an era for baseball, too. We've been mentioning Willie Mays a lot, but don't forget Roberto Clemente at the time, too, who tragically passed away during his playing career, was another one of those players who was an icon. Baseball at that time was where football is today.
America's sport.
As we look at the NFL and we see the different superstars in the NFL and how we look at them, NBA as well, obviously LeBron, one of the biggest names in sports. Back then, baseball, that was it. It was baseball, and those were the guys that were the biggest names in sport, and they were the biggest celebrities in this country. And that's what Hank Aaron became in his pursuit of of this record, that the stuff, the stories about what he went through it. It's so hard to relate to it, but it isn't when you think about where we are today as a country. All right, coming up, though, we'll have a more perspective out of Atlanta from a reporter that knew the family very well, Karen Greer from CBS in Atlanta. Some great stories from her. That'll be coming up next.
Bart and Han.
On ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the Bart and Han Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Let me get this out of the way, because it is big this week, and Conor McGregor returning to the Octagon January 23rd in a rematch against Dustin Poirier, UFC 257, only on ESPN Plus. UFC 257 exclusively available on ESPN Plus. Subscribers for $69.99, visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV. As we are, and I always say, you mourn, but you also celebrate the life of Hank Aaron, who passed away, baseball icon, sports icon, American icon, today at the age of 86. Karen Greer joins us right now, and Karen Greer is an Emmy Award-winning anchor and reporter at CBS 46 down in Atlanta, has interviewed Hank Aaron several times, has terrific stories certainly about him. We thought she'd be great to have on right now for that perspective. So, Karen, we do appreciate it. I know it was last second to get you on, so we thank you for making some time for us. And let me begin by just asking this. I know, I always feel like once you get past 80, it's like that's a life well lived. But this felt kind of sudden. Was Hank Aaron ill? Do you have any details about how he passed?
Well, guys, first of all, thank you so much for letting me join you. And no, he had not been ill. I just talked to Ambassador Andrew Young, former Atlanta mayor and UN ambassador. And he said he and Hank Aaron actually sipped some wine together last Saturday. There's a new wine out that's called Hammer and Hank. And the ambassador said, he told him, I don't really drink wine, but he said, I guess I'll start sipping this. So as of Saturday, he was fine, doing well. Last night, his family telling us he was fine, went to bed, and, nothing out of the ordinary was going on. But we understand now, I got a call this morning just after 10 that he died in his sleep. So, the last public appearance we had here in Atlanta was him getting the coronavirus vaccine at the Morehouse School of Medicine with some other notable civil rights icons, Ambassador Young, one of them, a woman, Zenona Clayton, who's just done so much in the community. So he told us he felt great and he knew he needed to do this to encourage other African Americans to get the shot, because so many had feared that getting that vaccine could be a problem. But he felt fine. He was doing fine. And his health was good as far as we know.
Once a leader, always a leader. Thanks for joining us again, Karen. You spent a lot of time with Hank over the years. Did he ever open up about, you know, sometimes the things that he had to live through, the racism that he had to endure, being able to understand his importance to the game, but also to his importance in the African-American community?
He definitely did. I just talked to him maybe 3 months ago as we lost another civil rights icon here in our area, Reverend C.T. Vivian and then Dr. Joseph Lowry. And he told me all the time whenever I'd see him about thinking back, growing up in Mobile, Alabama, how it was so tough at that time to grow up a black man, and how his mother used to make them hide under the bed because, you know, she knew the Ku Klux Klan was coming into the neighborhood and she was trying to protect her children. And, you know, he talked about being in baseball and getting hate mail, and he had to get an armed guard to protect him at some of these games because people hated him so much. But to see this man, you know, smile through all of that and just know he just wanted to play the game he loved. He quit high school to play baseball. That was his life. He did broke so many records in doing that. And then people don't probably realize he was an awesome businessman as well. Had several businesses here, car dealerships and Krispy Kreme donut shops and Popeye's chicken. So he invested his money well, and he was still in the front office with the Braves through his death. So yeah, he definitely told children about what he endured and how it was important for him to do that to make a way for them. And then he's got his big 755 foundation that gives scholarships and money to kids in the community to help them go to school. He really has left his mark here. We call Atlanta his second hometown, and our prayers going out to his family today.
What did he feel about the obligation, the responsibility of the modern-day athlete? How did he feel about the modern-day athlete, and particularly the baseball, the African-American baseball player? As you know, it seems like not as many African-American gravitate to baseball like they used to.
I remember having to go out and talk to him about, you know, athletes using performance-enhancing drugs, and he did not like that at all and thought you should use your what you've given by God. And those kinds of things used to upset him. But he knew he was supposed to be an icon and somebody for these kids to look up to. And he thought other athletes were supposed to do that as well.
I wonder if he ever referenced Barry Bonds with that, who broke his record.
Well, I do know Barry Bonds' father and he were good friends.
Yes.
I know he respected him. And he really wouldn't talk about Barry Bonds to us when we would ask him about, you know, that. But I know he respected his father and respected him as a player.
Karen, we thank you so much for the time. Wish we had more, but your perspective was definitely valuable today. Appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you so much, guys.
All right, all the best. Karen Greer, again, Emmy Award-winning anchor and reporter at CBS 46 down in Atlanta. They did break the news of the passing of Hank Aaron. As you can tell, she had a very close relationship with him, did a lot of interviews, and I thought that would be a very important perspective to share. Coming up next, though, we move on to football. As the Jets hire a new coach, as coaching hires all around the NFL are happening, Robert Saleh, what he sees in that job, and also the future of coaching in the NFL. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.